to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Lang et al. Titled, Angiotensin II Type 1 Receptor Blockade Attenuates Reflex Cutaneous Vasoconstriction in Aged but Not Young Skin. This article published online March 11, 2015. My guests today are Associate Editor Deborah Diz, Lead Author James Lang, and Content Expert Caitlin Thompson-Torgerson. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and thank you all for joining us today to discuss a recent manuscript that increases our understanding of age-related differences in the reflex vasoconstrictor response in skin microvessels that involves mechanisms of angiotensin II and Rho kinase activation. I would like to welcome the participants of today's podcast, Dr. James Lang, lead author of the study, and Dr. Caitlin Torgerson, our content expert, and would like to start by having Jim give us a brief description about the novelty of your recent study.
Thanks, Deborah. Just before getting into the study, some of the work that goes into this really begins with some of Caitlin's work in 2004 that had looked at reflex constriction in older skin and found that it was markedly reduced. In this older population, we also see that much of it is mediated by a noradrenergic response. Also around this time, we found that Stechlings showed that there's a separate renin-angiotensin system. At least the capability of producing angiotensin exists in skin. It's long been thought that angiotensin has more of this systemic multi-organ type of system, but it can actually be produced locally and have a paracrine type of effect. We had shown in this particular study that endogenous angiotensin contributes to the reflex vasoconstriction response in older skin. And this was not evident, however, in younger skin. So although this has thermoregulatory type of implications in that angiotensin has the capability of, because it is a powerful constrictor, it has the capability of enhancing the thermoregulatory response or maybe even acting as a compensatory response as well. It also may have a pathological type of influence as well, as we know the pathological influence of angiotensin on the vasculature.
Thank you, Jim. Caitlin, would you like to make further comments about the importance of this study or ask Jim any questions?
Absolutely. Age really seems to be its own unique issue. It's not a pathology per se. It's not a disease state per se. But what we're seeing is, at a molecular level, we're seeing changes in reactive oxygen species, we're seeing changes in Rho kinase activity, and now we're seeing changes in angiotensin II in the skin, all of these being upregulated, all of these leading towards this kind of pro-constrictor state. And Jim mentioned how it kind of can be viewed as a compensatory response, and he does a great job of detailing this in the paper, but I want to highlight it again, the idea that a true compensatory response in the body is a beneficial response, and often a way of trying to account for dysfunction somewhere else. But what we see here is we know that reflex vasoconstriction is blunted in the skin of older adults, and we know that that places them at risk for thermoregulatory issues and cold stress and ultimately hypothermia. But what we're seeing here may not be a true compensatory response because it is so much in line with almost this underlying pathological kind of set of pathways. So while we may be seeing something acting as a quote-unquote compensatory pathway, it doesn't seem to be from the standpoint of trying to aid in a beneficial way in physiological function. It really seems to be serving as an indicator of this overall increasingly pro-constrictor state of vasculature in the older body in general. Jim, I do have a few questions. Your research is showing that angiotensin II has this pretty significant role in reflex constriction. And my research was showing that once you block norepinephrine, it's pretty much all gone. you know, you get no vasoconstriction. And you talk about this a little in the paper, but I'm curious a little bit more how norepinephrine and angiotensin might work together to be able to reconcile these two findings. And also, I was wondering if you have any ideas about why angiotensin 2 might be elevated in aged skin to begin with. Is it elevated in non-cooled conditions? And why angiotensin 2 production might be higher during a cooling challenge? And I'm wondering how this whole paracrine pathway fits in with this overall neurological response.
Oh, thanks for those questions, Caitlin. Why is it that whenever we look at the aging response, we see that in general, we see a redundancy in mechanisms? And in fact, that it seems like what is left is the noradrenergic response. And that's pretty much it. So how does angiotensin fit into that? And it's quite possible that angiotensin might be acting presynaptically to modulate norepinephrine. I do have a study that is going on right now that is looking at angiotensin and a dose response, looking at the noradrenergic effect here, trying to get an idea of what kind of crosstalk might be evident there. In terms of why this might be elevated during cooling, this is a great question as well. It's tempting to look at this as a unifying mechanism here because angiotensin has been demonstrated to increase Rho kinase and has been demonstrated to increase NADPH oxidase. So seeing this as a mechanism to increase ROC and increase oxidative stress is something that we're interested in looking at a little bit more. How much is angiotensin really governing those responses in older adults? And in terms of how angiotensin 2 is elevated, some of this work comes from Walt Ray's group, and they've demonstrated that angiotensin in conduit vessels, at least, seems to have an increased constrictor type of response. There's enhanced sensitivity in older individuals to the angiotensin that is there.
Okay, thank you, Jim. I'd like to ask a question. I noticed in the older individuals that glucose and lipids were actually higher than they were in the younger subjects. And so do you have an idea about the significance of these differences with respect to the findings, either in terms of the angiotensin 2 responsiveness or the sort of loss of the norepinephrine component? And related to this, how would you interpret this for sort of normal physiology versus a pathologic situation like diabetes, even in a younger individual?
Thanks, Deborah. This is a good question. And to clarify, the population that we're looking at really embodies a healthy older group. And by that, we're talking about older individuals that are not taking prescription medication and are quite active and quite fit. The idea with this type of study is to try and look at primary aging effects without any type of underlying pathology that's there. But it would be interesting to be able to take this study and take a look at this angiotensin component indeed in a more of a preclinical type of population, let's say in pre-hypertensive individuals, potentially in individuals that are starting to exhibit type 2 diabetes. I think this could be interesting to see how this potential shift towards angiotensin signaling, how much of this is indicative of a preclinical type of state or a proconstrictor type of state that could lead to more of a pathological profile.
Thanks, Jim. I guess I had one other question about how you interpret the findings as applicable to strategies for future management of older individuals with this apparent alteration in their vascular function.
This is an interesting thought, and at this point, this data is really looking at how are these systems affected. Redundancy is reduced as we age, and what systems seem to be in place. So one of the things with younger individuals is that these systems may very well be in place and may very well be functioning fine, but we see that with older individuals that perhaps the Rho kinase pathway perhaps an increase in angiotensin that occurs is something that is essentially what's left, or maybe what's even upregulated in older adults. So it becomes interesting to think about as how much of this has more of a pathological type of influence, and if so, what are some targets, what are some things that can be done to reduce that? And that's the source of future studies, and we're interested in looking at AT1 receptor blockade and looking at, let's say, losartan supplementation and how this affects microvascular function.
Thank you. Caitlin, do you have other comments or questions for Jim?
I just have one other question, and it has to do with the role of reactive oxygen species in all of this. And I'm wondering if you know anything about a potential upstream role for reactive oxygen species. I know with your tetrahydrobiopterin research that there's this idea that reactive oxygen species is upstream of the dysfunction in terms of synthesizing norepinephrine, that reactive oxygen species seem to be upstream and inhibiting the production or the activity or the effectiveness of tetrahydrobiopterin, and then inhibiting the effectiveness of tyrosine hydroxylase, thereby inhibiting norepinephrine. Do you think there's an upstream role for reactive oxygen species here, maybe upregulating angiotensin II?
That's an excellent thought. And it's convenient to look at angiotensin as potentially at the head of it and then causing some of these downstream type of effects. But you're right, it could very well be looked at from the opposite direction. So perhaps there is greater amount of oxidative stress and this is playing a role on angiotensin sensitivity. This study is really elucidating that here we do have an endogenous role of angiotensin in the skin. And so it'll be interesting to figure out what are those mechanisms? Why is it that angiotensin seems to have a role in older skin, but not really in younger skin? And we were really excited to see when we put in angiotensin into the skin, exogenously, we had a huge constriction response, which is maybe of no surprise, but then Rho kinase inhibitor, Facidil, completely abolished that. So this was kind of something we kind of found after the fact, and we were excited by that, and we were excited by the mechanisms that could be at play here. Not only what you mentioned with its interaction with norepinephrine, that's very interesting, but then its downstream role in terms of potentially even upregulating Rho kinase and maybe even its role in inhibiting nitric oxide. We're kind of stretched between two ends of the spectrum here. We have a couple studies in place right now to look at some of those things, and we've got some new methods that we're trying here as well. So we're excited going forward, and hopefully we can figure out a little bit more what's going on.
Thank you both then for participating in this podcast, highlighting new findings in vascular biology. We congratulate Dr. Lang on this interesting study that has direct application to human physiology and relevance to overall vascular health.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.